from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 28th, 1993. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the evening.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The psalmist said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it shall return. And when it returns, it'll have some peanut butter on it. Praise the Lord. You just can't outlive and outgive God, can you? Praise the Lord. He's the great I am. Yes, there's not another like thee, O thou whom my soul loveth. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be here at Lake Hamilton. And we've been blessed so many times by coming here and just being in fellowship with these good people. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to entreat the Lord in Brother Glenn's behalf. I believe that the enemy is mad at him. And about three times here in just last two or three years, he's had some pretty bad afflictions here, wounds. And when he had this last one, I think Irma called half. My wife was taking the calls. I was going to town or somewhere. And when I came back, she told me about it, and I went immediately to the Lord. I thought, my, what a, you know, we've got to have Glenn. Y'all, let's pray real hard for him. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe that the enemy approaches, I think that the enemy approached the Father many times and demanded that he be allowed to execute his jurisdiction, which was to put death upon the Lord. The Lord had not sinned, but he took our sins upon him. And when he did, he came under the law that gave the enemy the right to execute death. He had the right to execute it, but he didn't have the timing. And I don't hesitate to tell you that I think that he has confronted the Father many times and asked permission to go ahead and execute death on a lot of saints. You might not lose a lot to go that direction, but in some cases it'd be very little loss. But somehow or another, I just don't want to do it that way. Praise the Lord. And I don't want Glenn to. I'll make that clear if I get into... Absolutely. Jesus said, if you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you shall never die. The only thing is, it has to make up our mind whether we believe that or not. You see, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem. But people make problems, and all of our problems have been, you know, goodness, I came up through the old schools and I know all of the arguments and the problems. We spent the first, about the first 10 years I was in the ministry, we argued about, or they argued, I didn't argue with anybody over it, but they argued on how you ought to be baptized, whether you ought to say in Jesus' name or in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they'd get hostile about that. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think they still do, but I move way beyond that. As a matter of fact, I was beyond it then. I really didn't see that. You know, I could argue either side of it pretty good if I wanted to get into an argument. I mean, there's scripture. There's plenty of scriptures to substantiate any way you want to go here. But so they asked me, if anybody asked me, how you baptized, Brother Jack, I'd tell them in water. I'd baptize you before you can get your coat off. Hallelujah. And so many things, then they were, the church taught me the first years. Well, the church still teaches here. You know what the church teaches us? We've got a real perplexity here. The church teaches us to get ready to die, and the Bible's teaching us to get ready to live. Hallelujah. The church teaches us to get ready to go, you know, go. And the Bible teaches us to get ready to stay. And I'm getting ready to stay. Hallelujah. I don't argue those points. I just believe that the points that getting us ready to stay is stronger than the ones getting ready to go. But, you know, I'm not too dogmatic about any of these things. I moved into ministry by revelation. And almost completely into the ministry of life. Some of the terms that if you've been around Move of God folks, Sonship, some of the terms that you hear them bounce off their tongue right easy, and they were coined, as far as I know. The Lord spoke them through me. I had never heard them before. Some of the things that are well known now, the Lord, I got the revelation of life as direct as Paul did. He was shut up in the desert, and I was shut up in East Texas, and I was isolated. Say, when I first came into ministry, I thought, well, there ought to be something to help a guy here, you know, if he wants to, you know, he wanted to do well. I said, if you wanted a carpenter, you can get a book that'll tell you how. If you want to plumb something, you can get a book that tells you how. If you want to fix an automobile, you can get a book that tells you how. Nobody tells us how to preach. But now you don't have to worry about that because everybody is telling us how. Hallelujah. And so I know now that it was a good thing because God led me into revelation, whereas if I'd have got a book of summons, I'd have just preached what they preached. And never would have, probably, might not have got anything for myself from the Lord. You know, I think there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers do that now. Okay. Hallelujah. But God in His great goodness has seen us through a lot of things. And we stand tonight in stronger faith than we ever have. I know. There's some things that I just know with my knower. If you ask me to prove it, I probably can't prove it to your satisfaction, but I know it's true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the Lord has spoken. Thank the Lord. I'll talk to you some tonight then on the subject that I call resurrection life. I believe that's the way the Spirit is kind of directing us here. I'm just feeling out the Lord here. I'm going to concede or take for granted that we're all saved. If everybody is not saved, then I have, I may have missed it a little bit, but I'm willing to concede salvation to everybody in the tabernacle. But I have a question for you then, after having conceded salvation for everybody, I must have one question here for you anyhow. Have you been here, let's see, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, I said, I concede
that you are saved, but have you been saved to the uttermost? This is a great big word, powerful word, and an all-inclusive word. Paul said, I pray that you be preserved both spirit, soul, and body. You see, our spirit, our body is the last thing that we'll submit to God. Our spirit submits readily, fairly easily to God. And our soul is in a perplexed position because it stands right between the spirit and the body. And both the spirit and the body are vying for control of our soul because the soul controls the will, mind, and emotion. And whoever controls the soul will control our action. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, you that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Amen. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Hallelujah.
And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of liberty, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, we're heirs. Heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in Him. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, for a long time I thought we was waiting to be raptured, but we're waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, I believe, firmly believe, that God is getting us ready to make war, all-out war, against the enemy. I believe that that the scene is being set even as we speak, all over the world. Something has to give. Paul continued saying, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same. And hope. I got a hope. What is your hope? Oh, well, I hope that I will walk into life. It is not an idle hope. It is not far-fetched to have that hope. Hallelujah. I hope to walk into life. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm going to make it perfectly clear that I hope to walk into life and be translated.
Yes.
In a moment.
Hallelujah.
In the twinkling of an eye. Now, I hope to bypass the grave. Well, yeah, hallelujah. Hey, hang on. I'll show you how to get out of here alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I hope to, well, let's see. The first few years I preached, probably the first 15, I had a hope. It was a blessed hope. And I'm going to tell you what it was. I hoped for the first 15 years that I'd die and go to heaven. And then I found a better hope. That's a good one. But there's a better one. Hallelujah. The better hope is that I'll just walk into life. And that put me in the same place as that one that died and went to heaven. I just bypassed death. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to do it. Believe me. Believe me, somebody's going to do it. Not just some one person, but a great number of people is going to do it. Now, I realize that there is a timing on this, but all the arrows point to the end of this century. Say, I have changed my mind about many things since I've been a minister 40 years, but I have never changed my mind about, since I've been a Bible student, I've never changed my mind on the end. The end, I always had it within this century, possibly very close to the end. I've never changed. Nothing I've ever read or has ever been revealed to me has changed that. I still believe that by the end of this century, that we will be into the kingdom age. The dispensation of the kingdom of God. Now, but also I believe that we'll have to do some kingdom walking before that time. There's nothing but our unbelief that keeps us from walking kingdom walk right now. You can have kingdom life now if you have the faith for it. Hallelujah. And so I believe that gives us, what, 6.5 years to finish this dispensation. Well, I believe that the translation will take place a distance ahead of that. I tell you, we're on the verge of something great happening. And I know what it is. It won't be the rapture of the church, as the old order has taught all these years. It'll be the manifestation of the sons of God, and it'll be the first resurrection. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus stood that day in Bethlehem. No, in Bethany, wasn't it? When he came to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead. You remember they had sent for Jesus. It's in the 11th chapter of St. John. And along about the 23rd verse, somewhere along there, Jesus says to Martha, they're going out to the gravesite. And he says to Martha, show me where you put Lazarus. And she said, well, by now he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. But she said, nevertheless, I'll show you. So they walked to the gravesite, to the tomb, and Jesus said to, Martha said to Jesus, she said, Master, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Well, he said, even so, your brother will live again, Martha. He'll live again. And this is what she said. She said, I know that he will, Lord. In the last day at the resurrection, I know he will. Well, that was her concept of the revelation. But it was not an unreasonable one. It was a foundational one, fundamental. As a matter of fact, you ask any fundamental religion about the resurrection, and that's what they'll tell you. She had a good fundamental concept of the resurrection. And it was good for her society. I think it's been good for all society since then, right up to this present day. And while it's been good for all of these societies, none of them would deny it, and yet it is not right. She wasn't exactly right about that, was she? Say, let me insert at this point the thought that you are guaranteed a resurrection. You are guaranteed a resurrection. But do you know anything about the order of resurrection? Hallelujah. There are. Let's see, in St. John chapter 5 and verse 29, perhaps, Jesus says, let me turn back here quickly, in chapter 5 and verse 29. Let's read the 28th verse just to get a setting. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. As I think, that's two resurrections, isn't it? That's two orders. There are those that will come out of the resurrection and have come into resurrection life. There are those that will be resurrected unto, John uses the word damnation here according to the translators. That means that they're cut off from God. Now, he said, all that are in the graves will hear my voice. So you see that I am within the scriptural rights to say that you're guaranteed a resurrection.
Yes.
But there's only one resurrection that will suffice for me, Brother Jack. And do you know what that resurrection is? It is the first resurrection.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, probably about verse 6, and blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection, over such the second death hath no power. You see, and now, even now we have resurrection. But now I'm living in resurrection life, but if you follow the old order teaching, you're living in resurrection death. Because this whole realm is death. But you know, if you've heard the old cliche, put a bad apple in a barrel of apples and they'll all turn bad. Well, that's true. But I'll tell you something that is equally true, that you can take a barrel of apples and run them all under the microscope and find that they're all solid and sound and there's not a defected one in the group, and put them in that same basket or another basket like it, and they too will go bad. You know why? Well, I'm going to tell you why anyhow. Because death worketh in. Death worketh in you. Death worketh in me. Death worketh in us. And everything that we touch here, death is working in it. My God, no wonder. No wonder we're so death conscious. Everything that we have anything to do with here is death. Everything that you can see is temporal. That Bible on it? And that is eternal is not seen by the natural eye, are known by the natural senses. But would you believe, oh, you surely know this, that there are five spiritual senses that coordinate with the five natural senses? Say, if you walk after the flesh, you shall die. But now there's a lot of things of the flesh that is honorable. See? Honorable, and you could get by and be a good neighbor and a good wife or a good husband, a good child, son or daughter, mother or father. You could be a good anything in our society and according to moral gauges. But everything in that realm is dying, and it is deteriorating. And in time, that deterioration will overtake it. And this body can't stand too much. You remember the psalmist prayed, Lord, teach me, show me the end, show me the number of my days, and show me how frail I am, and I might better direct my life. That's what the psalmist thought he could better direct if he knew just when he was going to die, and if he knew how frail he was. Well, he didn't realize how frail. It's a good question. It's a good request. But we don't realize how frail we are. Well, this tabernacle that I live in is so frail indeed that if the temperature were to rise 10 degrees on it, it would perish. Or if the temperature fell 10 degrees, it would have to go. This body would have to go. That's how frail we are. But we're clinging to this on a thin string, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what's the use in knowing this? Well, so that we don't count this so dear. But that we count the life beyond. Oh, Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I of all men would be most miserable. You could go into the institutions of insanity and find the most miserable creature you could find. And compared to me, compared to him, I'd still be the most miserable creature in the world, Paul said. If I only had hope in this life. I tell you what. Hallelujah. If I just had hope in this life, what I could do in 10, and if it could be in lengthened for certain reasons, I'd be most miserable, wouldn't you? Say, you know what I think I'll be doing 100 years from now? Yeah. Well, I'll be police in the kingdom age. The kingdom dispensations. Hallelujah. Now, and I'll be doing it without much, the resistance will be a lot different than it is now. Because I'll only be wrestling with the effects that is a carryover from the effects of the devil, Satan. The effects will go over into the kingdom age. You follow my thought? The source will not go into the kingdom age, but the effects will go into the kingdom age. Say, what's the biggest problem in the United States? Drugs. One word. Drugs. Isn't that right? All right. If you could gather up all the drugs there is, what's the smallest measurement in medicine? The milligram. All right. Doc, thank you. The best, if you could gather up all of it and to the last milligram and destroy it, and it was so fixed that no more could be produced, you still wouldn't be rid of the drug problem because there's too many people out there already infected with it, you see. And in the kingdom age, see, when it is all put down, the source can't go in, but the results can. And we'll be, there'll be 16-year-old girls there that are pregnant, and they've blowed their minds on drugs. And in a few months, a baby will be born that'll be a drug addict, and there's no drugs. And that baby will still be alive 50 years from now, maybe. Who knows, maybe 75 years from now. But as long as he lives, you still got a drug problem. But the source was cut off back there 75 years ago. That's what I'll be doing. Be cleansing the earth of the influence of Satan. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's what I'm doing now, too. But I'm, hallelujah. Amen. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing if it works out good. If it pans out, I'm going to keep doing it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe that it'll pan out all right. Hallelujah. Well, let's hear. Hear the Apostle Peter. Let me see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Let me get over here to this little passage and I'll read it. I can quote all of these, but if I do, you'll think I'm a smart aleck. And with many other words did he testify, Peter answering the questions that was asked him on the day of Pentecost, and he exhorted, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." You know what that means? Now, isn't it? Before this, they had asked him, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, and you shall be saved." Well, that's the Lord saved you. Now, I conceded that you're saved. Now, after having conceded that you're saved, then I ask you, are you saving yourselves from this untoward generation? That means, are you preventing this civilization, our society, from molding you in its mold and in its image? That's what Peter was saying. Don't let the world get you in its butter mold. Hallelujah. Amen. And he didn't say that the Lord would do that. He said, save yourselves. There's a lot in here that we have to do. Oh, well, it depends on what your desires are. If you just want to miss the fire, yeah. Fire insurance is all you want, well, you probably got that. Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a good insurance policy right there. But, who could be, with so much? If there was nothing further, then that would be certainly great, and it is great. But who will settle for that when all Canaan lies out there to be taken, possessed? Say, for years, people have stood up and under the inspiration of the Spirit and in high exuberance have declared, "I'm going to stake my claim." Well, that's all right, but it's getting a little late in the game just to stake a claim. Hallelujah. Amen. What we need to do is move in and possess. Quit sticking up a stub that marks your claim. Hallelujah. Amen. And press in to God. Hallelujah. How do you do this, though, pressing in to God? Well, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, suffereth violence. And the violent takes it by force. You have to press in. You have to withstand the adversary if you would make the first resurrection. Amen. All right. I got to get further with this resurrection. I'm not going to be lengthy. All right. In the first resurrection, this is what I hope to do. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right. Then there are all of those scriptures that says, if you be in Christ. Say, did you know the Lord gave me that by revelation 30 years ago or beyond 30 years now? The in Christed. As surely as I live, the Lord spoke to me and said, what about the in Christed? And I got it. I mean, I got it. Just like that, I got it. And I got my Bible real quick, and by memory I already knew. Well, and I began to study those passages that has a grand promise to the in-Christed. But we Pentecostals, the old school that I came up through, we took every scripture and gave it a general application. Just spread it across the whole board. And never paid no attention that it said, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, if, I'm still conceding that you're saved, but has this happened to you? Has old things passed away, or do they still bother you? Has all things become new? The answer to both is likely no, they have not. Then what is the problem? It's not God. He said, if any man be in Christ, they will have passed away. But why? Then, if you're saved, you have Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. But you've been dominating that Christ in you through the soulish realm and doing what you wanted to do instead of doing what He wanted you to do. All we had to guard against was we don't want to do anything immoral or anything ridiculous or anything that'll make us, anything that won't be accepted by our society. But that is not enough restrictions. We have to do that pleases Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Until there, and what happens? That seed of Christ begins to develop within us. And it begins to expand and enlarge. It begins to cleanse and purify the house. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And until actually one day we suddenly realize that we have come into Christ. Hallelujah. And when that happens, old things pass away and all things become new. It's a new life. It's resurrection life. Say, you know why that the denominations don't like this message? Believe me, they don't like it. They don't want life. And I'll tell you why they don't want life. They want death. Well, they wouldn't want to call it that, but it's either, there's just two realms. They want death because where there is life, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Let me give you an example. The words that He speaks to you can keep expanding. Say, if I tell you, you say, somebody asked me if I had a trailer house. Well, I don't have a trailer house. I have a house. So you ask me, what do you live in, Brother Jack? And I say, a house. All right, now use your imagination just a minute. I told you that I live in a house. Now you can imagine, you've got a pretty wide range here. But it's not all that wide because I have restricted the possibilities and the enlargement by the word house. I've said I live in a house. So it can't be a castle. It can't be a dungeon. It's not a mobile home. It's a house. So you see. But now, when I spoke in my house, you can, like I say, you can arrange from however I got, what I got. Is it brick veneer, solid brick, is it frame, or whatever? But whatever your imagination may be, but it can't be too wide. But when Jesus says, hey, I live in a house too. Yeah. The words that He speaks are living words. And the house that He lives in is a living house. And it, the one that I live in will remain much the same for year after year after year after year. But the one that he lives in is changing constantly. That's because it is alive. And the reason denomination, I'm going to answer my question now, the reason denomination doesn't like life is simple. You can't control it. Hallelujah. It'll outgrow you. Say, you could go out to Colonial Garden Cemetery. I guess there ought to be one of them here around somewhere. And there may be 2,000 people in that cemetery. And you can just set you up a tent of bivouac there and stay for months. Say anything you want to say. Do anything you want to do. And they won't give you one bit of trouble. But you can't take 2,000 lively stones. Hallelujah. You can't take 2,000 lively stones and say anything you want to say. You're going to get in trouble. So the reason they choose death instead of life is you can control death. It's already pretty well controlled. Say, if you can label it, it don't flow. If you can label it, it doesn't flow. If it flows, you can't label it. If you want to flow something, if you want to label something that's flowing, you've got to get a bottle and catch you some of it. And it ain't flowing no more when you slap the label on it. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Well, I'm sorry for what that does for the first church. Hallelujah. But it's truth, isn't it? Oh, I cannot for the life of me see why someone would choose the death realm. All right, now, I'm going further here. I said that I expect to walk into life. This is how I expect to do it. I expect to let Christ envelop me. Just take complete control of this life. And then, see, sin's what's killing us. Hallelujah. Sin's what's killing us. And even if you could get away from that, the devil would still be accusing you before God, man. Hallelujah. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. The enemy of our soul looks to the Father and says, hey, God, every one of them has been like rebel sheep and they've gone astray. What you going to do about it? And the Father said, I'm going to lay upon him the iniquity of them all. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. What are you going to do about it, God? Well, I'm just going to lay it on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. See, hallelujah. All right, let's turn to now 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. My brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that is, those that have died, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these thoughts. And what a comforting scripture it is. But if you just take it for the comfort, you miss a lot. All right? No, who rose first? Well, it specifies the dead in Christ, too, doesn't it? It doesn't say the saved. It says the dead in Christ rose first. Now, I'm going to tell you who that is, the dead in Christ. That is our forefathers, those that pleased God to the fullest extent in the time that they lived. They couldn't walk into life because it wasn't time. But they could be in Christed and come out in the first resurrection. That's the first resurrection, by the way. And come out in the first resurrection And they will, you know, Daniel has the promise that he will stand before, he'll prophesy before the nations. Well, he died without doing it. John also has the promise directly from God that he too will witness before many nations. He died without doing it. When's he going to do it? All right. The dead in Christ rises first, and then those that are alive, we've got the subject is already, the text is already over in Christ. You follow me? The thought is already in Christ. Now, those that rise first are the dead in Christ, and those that are standing by, they are in Christ. Well, they are caught up immediately afterward. They have been. Now, I'm going to have to tell you what it means to be in Christ. Here it is, as plain as I can make it. If I should go by the way of the grave tonight, well, if I did it here, well, if I, you know, my folks would come down and get this tabernacle and take it out there to our old family graveyard where we got, I don't know, I can trace back about six generations above me. And there I'd wait. Now, if I'm ready to meet God, should he come, if when I died, when life my life expired, if the translation had took place instead of me dying a moment before that, if the translation had taken place and I would have been translated had I remained alive, then I'm in Christ. I'm dead in Christ, and I'll be coming out in the first resurrection to minister through the kingdom age. The rest of the dead, so stated in chapter 20 of Revelation, the rest of the dead rise not again for 1,000 years. All right, then if I don't go by the way of the grave, I'll just be there when it happens, and I'll be translated, and I won't ever go by the way of the grave. Say, unlike all other resurrections, and it would take, it'd take a long time to fan this out really good, but...
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Unlike all other resurrections, and it would take, it'd take a long time to fan this out really good, but I'm just giving you some basics here. After each resurrection, there are judgments, with the exception of one resurrection. That's the first one. In the first resurrection, look as hard as you will, you'll see no judgment connected with the first resurrection. They've already been judged to be blessed and holy. They've already been judged worthy to escape those things that are coming upon the earth. You remember Luke told us, pray that you be counted worthy to escape those things that are coming upon the earth. And, of course, with our rapture concept, we automatically tied the rapture in there. But that wasn't what he's talking about at all. He was talking about the translation of the sons of God. Say, I wouldn't be opposed to the rapture as far as just the rapture itself is concerned. I'm opposed to the teaching that supports that theory. Because the teaching is that everybody that got saved, if you got saved tonight and the rapture took place in the morning, you'd go up. Well, I think that we all ought to be grown up enough to know that's not right. Unless ever. And two, there's a warfare down here. Why train all of us so rigidly and then pull us out when it's about to start?
Yeah, right.
Say, you're right. Say, I trained in the... I belonged to an elite outfit in World War II, and a paratrooper, and... well, we were everything. We were elite. We were everything, and about half the time, the government denied that we existed. And had to... Yeah, we had to write home and tell our folks, hey, you may not hear from us for a long period of time. Don't inquire about us. When we can, we'll get in touch. And that was so, you know, they could... the government could back off and take no... responsibility for what we might do. Well, anyway, we trained there, and in all this rigid training, it was rigid. And you know, like they if they wanted one man, they'd call about 10 men, hoping they'd get one man out of the bunch. And that's the way it was. And before the D-Day came, well, they called us in and said, hey, the greatest military operation that the world has ever seen, probably never be another one like it, is about to take place. And you're going to be used in it. But you see, and that was right, we'd been trained. I'd been in England training for over a year, and my whole outfit had. And And we were all young, big guys, and, you know, and ready for action. But what the church would have done here is they'd have come to this elite group and said, hey, about tomorrow the rapture is going to take place. A great war is coming, great default upon the earth, great catastrophe, and we're going to get you out ahead of it. I kind of wish that would have been the concept before it was over, but it wasn't. and so they loaded us up on them C-47s and pointed the nose toward France. We were in England. And say, I don't know, it don't take long to cross that channel at 150 miles an hour. Hallelujah. Not near as long as I was hoping for once we got in flight. Yeah. This old colonel that we had there, he was giving us a pep talk. He was an old cavalry holdover. Tough. And he come with the, he kept one of them quirts they whipped the horses with. He just kept it. And he come slapping his leg with it. He said, gentlemen, you are, the first thing he said when he got all there, he said, gentlemen, greetings, 24 hours from now, a lot of you will be dead. He said, then he makes the worm come, though. He says, say, you are the best trained soldiers that there is. There's never been a training table that would surpass you. You are the cream of the cream of the crop. And somehow or another, I felt about then like I feel when the anointing hits me back here. You know? It was patriotism. Yeah, you are second to none.
Yes.
You will make a good showing and make me proud. They won't let me go with you. You know, the big brass back there. So they loaded us on the plane. And I had, I was in one of them C-47s with one platoon. I had three more platoons on three more C-47s. I was company commander. And as we got in flight, you know, we knew it wasn't going to take us. And I, the longer it was, the scarier I got. Oh, I was so scared that my scared was scared. You know, I said, I didn't want these guys to know I'm all that scared because, you know, they're scared too, but they don't want me to know it. And we don't want nobody to know it, how scared we are. As a matter of fact, we didn't know how scared we were. But we got pretty close and the pilot calls back and most talked to me. He said, hey, he said, we're coming in, watch your clock, in 4 minutes, we're going to be over target. And he says to me, we'd all got pretty familiar with each other. He said, he called me Tex. Hey, Tex, when I give you the red light, I want you to get them bums off of my aircraft in 32 seconds. I said, we can make it. And so he said, well, by the time we got through talking, we're just 2 minutes from target. And so he says, hey, Tex, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yeah, if you can get Colonel Jones on that radio again, I sure do need to hear him tell me how tough I am one more time. Well, so we do all of this, getting ready to withstand the devil, and then, you know, but that's just not the way it's going to be. Hallelujah. We're going to have to take this kingdom. It's up with violence, and we're going to have to take it. And we've seen some of the violence tonight. I mean, well, not specifically tonight, but all since we've been here. Say, I've seen a lot of tears since I've been here. That's good, because that's one of the books they open with the last judgments is they got a book of tears. You know, he bottles your tears and writes it in a book. Say they open five books at the end. But I haven't got time to do the books. But suffice it to say, one of them is a book of tears. Your tears are measured and recorded in the chronicles of heaven. And I tell you now, saith the Lord, yea, that the chronicles in heaven are not closed. Yea, but the scribes are writing, yea, and making record even now. Yea, even this night, saith the Lord. Yea, you are falling on record by the scribes and the chronicles of heaven, and nothing you shall do in my name shall be overlooked. Yea, no action that you shall take in your life shall be overlooked. I shall have a true record of it, saith the Lord. Yea, and you wonder how I know the number of hairs in your head. I am the all-wise God. Yea, and you are my children, and I love you as children, saith the Lord. I protect you as children. I shall keep you as children of my bosom, saith the Lord. Yea, and you shall never fall, but you shall have life and not death. For the Lord liveth, and because I live, you may live also, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, as we come into the first resurrection, notice now, in the 17th chapter of St. Matthew, Jesus goes up on the mountain, takes with him Peter, James, and John, and he is transfigured before the apostles. And when he is transfigured, this is the transfiguration of Jesus. It is a translation. Now, at this point, there was a voice that rang out of heaven, wasn't it, and said, "This is my Son, and my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." It is my belief, and scripturally so, I think, that Jesus could have ascended to the Father from that vantage point. But if he did, I mean, he had pleased the Father. He had made the perfect sacrifice. The only thing is, he just hadn't been offered yet. But he had made the perfect sacrifice, and God would not demand anything beyond making the becoming the perfect sacrifice. He could have ascended back to heaven, but if he did, you and I'd still be lost. We'd still be trying to find some way to get to God, and there'd be no way. So he stayed. This is where he takes on the principle of the love slave. You know the principle of the love slave. I haven't got time to go into that, but you do know it, don't you? That if he serves a master so long, he can go out free. But if he chooses to stay, he has to come and say, "Hey, I love my master." And he brings an auger with him and hands it to his master, and the master takes him out to the barn, puts his ear against the door, and bores a hole through it. And he is a love slave for life. He volunteered. He was bought to start with, but he's found a love that makes him a volunteer. That's what the Lord did. But at this transfiguration, what happens here? You're looking at your Bible. They have company. And who comes? Moses and Elijah. Now notice that it is in that order, and it can't be reversed. Don't reverse that order. Moses came, and then Elijah came. And they have all their lives has been a sample, an ensample for us. And they have been a shadow and a figure, and they still are. Moses, Moses died, didn't he? The Lord took him up on Nebo and buried him. And no man knows where the grave is, but he died. And he was buried. He represents the dead in Christ. So it is of necessity that he must appear first. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, neighbor. Amen. It is being reacted in its virgin state here. And then when he comes, just immediately comes Elijah. And Elijah represents those that didn't die. Hear Paul say again, the dead in Christ, Moses represents them, shall rise first, and then those that are alive and remain, Elijah represents them, shall be caught together with these. And we'll all go into the kingdom dispensation together and begin to police the kingdom for 1,000 years. And longevity of life will increase. Men will live for unreasonable. Some will live all the way through the kingdom. Oh, there'll still be death. Child dies at 100 years old. And he comes to accountability. He has to make a choice by the time he's 100 years old. Bible so states. Hallelujah. Amen. And you say, I preach 700 funerals. Give or take 25. Well, anyway, I only preached one, and that was just about 2 years ago. I only preached one funeral of a person that was 100 years old. My daddy's sister was 105 and a half. and preach her funeral. She's the only one. I'd always wanted to preach somebody's funeral that was 100 years old. She had a child. I had 100. But when I preach people's funeral that was 85 or 90, I usually made reference to their long, blessed with a long life. But in the kingdom age, if one died at 100 years old, you'd have to reverse your sayings and say, "Now, what a pity, whole life before him. Cut off here in infancy." Yeah. This is not just fairy tales. It's real. This is life. Amen. Resurrection life.
Amen.
Right. And you know what we're going to do then? We're going to stay there and police that kingdom until suddenly, well, the next thing that's going to happen big after that kingdom reign, the devil's going to be loose for a season. And he's going to go out and deceive many. That's so that these that have come up through the guardian ministry of the apostolic ministry of the kingdom age have never been exposed to sin. They've never been exposed to temptation. They've lived in a perfect paradise like Adam and Eve in the garden before the sin. And so they must, God being a just God, they must have to face a temptation and refuse it to get into the next realm. Many goes out and follows Satan, but the sons of God puts him into the hold where he is bound in there in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden we'll wake up one morning, hallelujah, to discover that we are now abiding in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's a lofty hope, all right. A lofty calling. And I tell you this, nobody will get lost and just wander in. Hallelujah. And wonder, what am I doing here? Hallelujah. Amen. If you appear here in this lofty position, it'll be because you had the revelation of it. It'll be because that you endeavored to do it. It'll be because you refused the evil and chose the good. It'll be because you love God more than your life.
Right.
Who all wants to go? I sure want to go, don't you? Praise the Lord. Right, cleanse the kingdom. And we're already doing. That's what this is all about this week. We've been cleaning up on it a little here, haven't you? But, I tell you, we've been mopping up on it. Hallelujah. And this will continue, and it'll get better and better, greater and greater, until that blessed day when the Lord says, it's enough. And He'll cause the dead in Christ to rise. And He'll cause the sons of God to be manifested. And at that point, hey, then I had a vision some years back, 4 or 5 years ago maybe, or might have been a little longer than that. I think it's about in that realm maybe. And the Lord told me, I just seen a terrible catastrophe. It looked like it was worldwide. I didn't know exactly what was happening. It was just terrible. It was like a tidal wave. Only I didn't see any water, but I used the term tidal wave. But I said, I didn't see any water, but it had the effects of a tidal wave. And the Lord spoke to me directly then. He said, say, son, when you see this begin to happen, go immediately to your closet prayer, and I'll meet you there. And he said, I'll meet you there, and I will give to you immunity over everything out there. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. It won't matter what it is. Nothing can by any means hurt you. And I remember the scripture over in the St. Luke chapter 10 and about verse 19 maybe, where the Lord seen Satan falling from heaven. Say, you know what we're doing now? We got to do before we do this. Before we cleanse the kingdom age, we got to get the devil cast out of his domain up there. So, you know, he met Job with Job and God. The devil met with him, and the Lord himself, God himself, addressed Satan and said, hey, what you been doing? He said, I've been going up and down, to and fro. Hallelujah. Well, you see, when Jesus, at Calvary, Jesus stopped his going to and fro. He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. But at Calvary, Jesus stopped his going to and fro. And now he's just up there in the heavenlies, ruling from the as the principalities of the powers of the air. And he has his imps at work down here, but he's ruling from up there. And Jesus, at his resurrection, stopped his walking to and fro. You never dealt directly with him. He just dealt with some of his squad. But what we're going to do, what the first thing the Son of God's going to do is cast him out of the heavens, out of his dominion. And then he'll be, the Bible so says that he'll be cast into the earth, and he knows that his time is sharp. He knows it's over. He has lost. Hallelujah. No, be no negotiating. No, he just lost. It'll be unconditional surrender. That's the only thing the sons of God will accept. And then we go into the dispensation itself. Hallelujah. And for a glorious 1,000 years. But that's only a beginning. We'll continue to minister throughout. Well, time will cease at that time. Won't be no more time, so who knows how long you've been. I'll use the term. I've been preaching 40 years thereabout, and I know by time, but there we won't measure it that way. Praise the Lord. You want to make first resurrection? How many of you want to make first resurrection? All right. In closing, I'm going to tell you who all is a candidate, and then I'll tell you what to do about that. Everybody is a candidate that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've been saved and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're a candidate. Now, what do? Peter told us what to do about that. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure you get elected. Hallelujah. Well, I have made my candidacy known all over the world. Everywhere I've gone, I've told them I hope to walk into life. I wouldn't leave a group before I told them that I'm hoping to walk into life. I am a candidate for it. I have thrown my hat in the ring, as political saying is. Hallelujah. And I'm running as hard as I can for kingdom and for life, to walk right into life. Hallelujah. Amen. To shed this body of death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You believe it's for you? It is indeed. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's lift our voices together in praise and adoration to Him that is King of Kings. Glory to the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, You're a great God and I love You. We praise You, Lord. We appreciate Your goodness. God bless this people tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the Lord would say unto thee, yea, as you go, contemplate these sayings. Yea, search the Scriptures and see if it be truth in God. Yea, deep has called unto deep, and I have enlarged your spirit of revelation. Yea, I have enlarged you to a state of receiving that seems strange for a moment. Yea, but know that the Lord has spoken, and He shall not have to correct any statement that the Lord anointed. Yea, but the Lord is leading thee on, and there are many things that you know not of. Amen. But I, the Lord, shall teach you by the Spirit. I shall cleanse you by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm looking until the last spot is removed from the body of Christ. Yea, and the bride can be presented without spot or wrinkle. Yea, it has been purposed from the beginning, before the beginning of things and time, saith the Lord. Yea, that the Lord will gather together a people unto Himself. Yea, and will put my spirit and my life in you. Yea, and you shall live and not die, for I have spoken, saith the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you real good.
Oh, we both told him a handa, kibusti and the lava kosanda la mandoria, candelaba sanda la mandoria. Oh, the makosti and the lava kosti and the lava kundaria.
I am going to bring a harvest in the earth, saith the Lord. I'm going to pour out my spirit in this end time. Know that judgment begins at the house of God. And if it begins at the house of God, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear, saith the Lord? Yea, I shall do a mighty work. I shall do a holy work. I shall clean my people up and sanctify my people in this hour. For surely the Lord thy God is getting ready to use an army. He's getting ready to march with this army and move them across the world. So humble your hearts before me, saith the Lord. For I'm a mighty God. I'm a true God. And thou shalt see exploits in this hour. Thou shalt see the hand of God moving in this nation. Thou shalt see the Lord moving throughout the earth. For I have not forgotten thee. I have not forgotten my people. My hand is upon thee and my arm is stretched out to you this night with authority and power. So take your authority in me and believe me and watch and march with me, saith the Lord. For truly thou art my people, thou art the apple of my eye. I will watch over you, saith the Lord, to perform my works. Trust and believe, and it shall be, saith the Lord.
Yes. Madolama kosi tala makonda e tala makonda li asanda la makoria mosinda la banda.
I desire to use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I desire to pour out my Spirit upon you. Submit to the Lord, for the gifts have been given to you, saith the Lord. I have given you these gifts, so exercise them. Do not hold back. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. But I put my gifts in you to be used to bless the body, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Sila brakanda brasa. Let not unbelief overtake thee, saith the Lord. I put faith in your heart. Let faith arise, saith the Lord. For I put faith in your heart and in your mouth. So speak forth that which is positive. Speak forth that which I put in thee, saith the Lord thy God. For I shall do a mighty work in this hour. And I shall tear down the works of the enemy. I shall bring down the works of man. And I shall lift up myself in this hour, saith the Lord. For I shall be exalted in this nation. I shall be exalted in my people. So humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And I shall raise you up in this hour. For I raise up that army. I raise up a strong anointed people. Stand in me. And thou shalt see the performance of the Lord thy God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. I'll give you a minute to find it. Deuteronomy 16, 16. It says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose. First, in the feast of unleavened bread, or Passover, in the feast of weeks, or Pentecost, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Now that's a commandment. That commandment has never been changed. And here at the campground at Passover, we have all the males come and present themselves before the Lord. Now this week is the beginning of the Pentecost. But I feel to do it tonight instead of tomorrow or the next day. I feel impressed that tonight is when we should do this, when all the males here should appear in this place before the Lord. It says you're not to appear empty-handed. So whatever offering you have for the Lord, or if you don't have an offering, that's you come and present yourself. You are really the offering. You are the offering that is being presented before the Lord. So this evening, since we do not have anything at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, yet anyway, I believe that feast should be observed and kept because it is an unfulfilled feast. It is still in the future. It has not been fulfilled in the reality that Passover and Pentecost have been. Those have been fulfilled and we look back at them. We are still looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles. The closest that we can come to that time here with the camp meetings is Labor Day. So even though it will be a couple of weeks ahead of time at Labor Day, we will repeat this to all we who are here. I'm going to ask Tommy and Jack to come here and stand with me this evening, and Bill Walter and Brother Wes and Brother Canada to come and stand here with us also. But Tommy, come over here, please.
And we're going to have to get back so these men can come up here. So, fellas, you're going to come to present yourself unto the Lord. You're coming to make yourself an offering to Him. The Lord says that you're to present yourself unto Him and not come empty-handed. Now, that really, as far as I'm concerned, is coming presenting yourself unto Him willingly. I trust that you'll come willingly unto the Lord tonight. And you come on up here. Get up here first, so you can get up here without any trouble. We'll put you up here in the front. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. We bless the Lord for you being able to be here. We're glad to see you when you come. Yes. Amen. Okay. So let's stand, all you fellas, all of you, and come on up here and join us yourselves together here before the Lord. And then just line up here. About four deep, the cream of the crop. Hallelujah. Father, we come to present ourselves unto you in Jesus' name. Father, receive us. Help us, O God, that our heart is right unto thee, that our desire is unto thee to serve thee with all that's within us, that you may use us for your glory. We may be those men that are dedicated unto the Lord, priest of our household, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I thank you, Father, for these men who've come to present themselves before you. For your word says that we're to come and present ourselves unto thee. And we've come tonight, Father, at this time to present ourselves unto you. And as we thank you for receiving us, Father, and taking us and using us for thy glory. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Father, we come and submit ourselves to you tonight. We thank you for the great Feast of Tabernacles that we're facing, Lord. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The ungathering, the great harvest that's coming, Lord God. The army that you're raising up, the fullness of the Spirit that's going to be poured out. And Lord, I pray for every one of these men, their household and their children and their family. I pray your anointing to be upon them, Lord. I pray that God, everyone will be the priest of their home, that they'll stand in the place you've placed them, Lord God, that they'll stand with boldness and with love, and the fruit of the Spirit will be within them. And Lord, that they'll be a blessing in this generation, to this wicked generation. God, I ask the Holy Spirit to quicken each one here tonight. And I pray the word of the Lord will come to each one, Lord God, Lord Jesus, that each one would hear the voice of the living God. We bless you and we praise you for every family that's represented right here through these men in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Lord, pour out that latter rain that we sang tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I invoke just now the choicest blessings from heaven for all of these men that are under the sound of our voice. I pray that you bless them in the city and bless them in the field. Bless their going out and their coming in. Bless them in the grocery store. Bless their basket, O Lord. And bless their family. And give us favor with our children and children's children for one, two, three, and four generations. Yea, and gentlemen, if you would be sons of God, then it is high time to set your house in order. Yea, and to begin to practice the presence of God in your midst. Yea, to rise up and take dominion, yea, in a priestly fashion and manner, yea, that you be found not filled with blame, but blameless before the presence of the Lord in that great day of the Lord, which is just beyond the next horizon, saith the Lord. Yea, rise up and take your rightful place, yea, in the home and in the church, yea, and in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, yea, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so with a hearty, I am redeemed, yea, and remind yourselves often, yea, that you have been picked out, yea, handpicked, chosen, right out from among the masses, yea, to put forth the name of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, yea, the goodness of the Lord, yea, and remember that all of the Lord that many will see is Him whom they see through you. Oh, tell me thou whom my soul loveth. Yea, will you bless this people tonight, this men that have come to stand before us, O Lord.
I believe that you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Did you ever wonder what needed to be done in the kingdom age? Did you ever think about that? What's going to happen to all the pornography? Still going to be here. What's going to happen to all the drugs? They'll still be here. Won't be gone. That's your job. That's my job. To eradicate all of these things out of the kingdom. To find all the pornography. To find all the masters for it. To find all the filthy TV programs. To destroy them and eradicate it. Destroy the drugs. Destroy the alcohol and all the things that are contrary to the kingdom of God. And it won't be done in 5 days or 5 years or 50 years. It'll take longer than that to do it. To eradicate the effects that Satan has in the earth. In those that are here, that are unsaved, that come into the kingdom, that are here at that time. All the effects that Satan has in their lives will have to be taken care of. And it may take, Jack didn't mention, but it may take 200 or 300 years into the kingdom before all that's found and destroyed and eradicated. The effects of Satan in the earth. What do we got to do? We have work to do to cleanse the kingdom for the King. And the King is Jesus. And to Him be holiness and righteousness forever and ever. Amen and amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the revelation of Yourself. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to learn to rightly divide Your Word. Help us not to rebel against the things we hear, but help us to search them out to see if these things be so. Then, Father, to walk in that walk and to follow after, to know Jesus in the fullness that is available unto us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the revelation of Yourself. We thank You, Lord, now for rest tonight. Thank You for to raise us in the morning to gather together again to praise and to worship the Lord Jesus. To come here, Father, to lift up the name of Jesus in the morning at the morning prayer meeting. To be an intercessor for the household of faith. Father, You're looking for intercessors. Help us, Father, to be intercessors for the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
By the word of the Lord, we are made overcomers. By the words of the Lord, we are able to stand. He reigneth forever, and His words are eternal. He has made His appeal, and is coming again by the words of the Lord. I made overcomers by the words of the Lord. We are able to stand. He reigneth forever, and His words are eternal. He has made His appeal, and is coming again, and is coming again, and is coming again.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.